This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome to the rebuild. Good morning, everybody. It's over. Time to move on. He wants out. Find the best assets you can. Wish him good luck. I don't believe it's some sort of... Several people are saying that this is a negotiation tactic. I don't believe he would reference a line that Andrew Berry referenced when he talked in a negotiation tactic. And I don't think that he would basically come out and say in his statement that he doesn't think that this is a competitive football team, that it's a not competitive football team. I think if he were looking for a payday, he would say, I'm the best player in the game. I deserve a payday. I'll be holding out to whatever level I can hold out. Or I'm going to request a trade if I can't get a payday. I think that this is deeply rooted. I think that this is reaching a fracturing point. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better, if it ever gets better, because I think a lot of people are just fit to be tied. This is his... down as I think I've ever heard the fan base in 13 years of this, of being on the Fan, which is not terribly long, but it's long enough considering some of the things that have happened. Hello,
Kenny. Question.
Yeah.
Question for you, Kenny.
All right.
Why do you think in his statement, he seemed to be so annoyed with the phrasing of Cleveland to Canton? Why do you think that bothered him to so much that he had to explicitly
put that in his statement? For maybe the positive, it just seemed like Andrew Berry was so adamant that he was coming back, and maybe they had reached some sort of a standstill, a loggerheads, and Andrew Berry said that publicly, and that irked Myles Garrett. So Myles Garrett took those words and put them in the statement that he wants out. So this is personal now. It's become bitter. And now I look at it and go, hey, I was living in probably a non-reality here. My old thing was, guys, we got to go after a QB. we got to make this as palatable as possible for Myles Garrett. And now it's going, nah, we're done here. You're 3-14. He wants out. Liquidate the asset. I warned everybody it could happen this way. Of course, I wasn't the only one. For the love of God, I'm not Nostradamus. I think a lot of people could probably see this from down the train tracks. And now the train's here. And so Myles Garrett's the first one. I don't know about David Njoku's future. I don't know about Denzel Ward's future. I don't know about any of their futures. Joel Bitonio, for the love of God, what's there to come back for? Right off into the sunset. You've had a nice career. Sorry we couldn't get it done. Who else do you want to mention?
Well, yeah, I mean, Denzel Ward was another one that came up yesterday, just based on you know, the amount of years, a guy that's always put his body, his brains at risk, you know, every time he's out on the football field.
And I understand the other side, the cap implications to it. Well, I mean, that, you know, the dead cap money. It's and the part of, I think, is goes. I don't think if you're trading Myles Garrett, you care about dead cap.
I don't think they're worried about the cap situation.
So you're worried about getting young players and trying to make this thing better. The worst part about it is, though, is that you basically have a lame duck general manager now. So if you move on from Myles Garrett, he's a lame duck. Am I wrong? Because you're going to lose this year. Like, you don't need to go get the quarterback now. That conversation changes. I know some people said, well, it might not change their draft. It might not change their draft.
You're talking about, but, like, in free agency or a trade?
Either or. I didn't think it needed that. Before it was going, hey, you got these guys. You've run out your string of credit as far as you possibly can on all these players. So now the bill is coming due. So now you have to get somebody who's going to help you and give you the brightest future you possibly can. And I know a down year for QBs. So I'm sorry, you're just going to have to bite the bullet and take a QB. Now I don't feel that way. Now I'm thinking, yeah, I guess you do have time. I guess you can. A fan can wait another year because it ain't just Myles again. David, Denzel, Joel, Conklin, whoever you want to name. And you could move on to 2026. And then if you want to talk about a quarterback, then you can talk about a quarterback then. So now you have options. Because if he wants out, okay, let's bring somebody to the table. I'll eat the dead cap because I ain't going anywhere anyway. I'll eat the dead cap. We'll move on. Andrew Berry becomes, again, a lame duck general manager. It probably puts Kevin Stefanski in a bad position. And if they don't draft a quarterback, I don't have to sit there and worry about firing a head coach with a young rookie quarterback and then putting that quarterback behind the eight ball with a new coach and a new general manager who didn't want him in the first place, who probably are sitting right now as a non-head coach and a non-general manager going, thank God we don't have to draft a quarterback in this draft. So they'll come into Cleveland next year in 2026, and that guy's already going to be, I can't say that term on the air because I'll get dumped. That's somebody else's problem. So they'll just move on from that quarterback, and we've in fact wasted a pick then. So I can have that conversation. But for us, it's just another log in the fire. And everybody said it, so I'll just add my voice to it, and I think you do. Three first-round picks, Myles Garrett, maybe Denzel, maybe David Njoku, all for Deshaun Watson. And I know that Myles has some responsibility in this. I remember the Baker stuff.
Yeah, Myles was not a huge fan of Baker Mayfield either.
A player is a player. Yeah. The front office is the front office. And this makes me sick. So do as you want. Do as you want. Thank God for Jose Ramirez, and thank God for a 40-9 basketball team.
I see. You're not of the ilk that I saw yesterday, which was everybody's over-emotional right now. The Browns just need to hang in there. This was a request. It doesn't have to be granted. He's under contract. This is the in January. Who cares what happens at the start of February? What's going to happen come August and July, September?
If he signs a contract, then he's only here for money. He's not going to come back unless there's an extension. So now he's told the fan base, I'm only here for the money. He's told you with that statement yesterday, he doesn't think they're good. And he doesn't think that they can win. And he wants to go to a place that can win. He, the cornerstone of the franchise, told the entire fan base in the football world the week of the Super Bowl, he does not think the franchise can win. That was his statement. So now, again, if you sign him, he's only here for money. He'll go out there and he'll sack a bunch of quarterbacks, but again, he's only here for money. So I can do this whole process all over again. I can get to next year because he doesn't think we're very good, and we're probably not. So I can go and win four or five games this next coming year, and all Miles will be is another year older and more expensive, and we'll redo this whole thing all over again. I know there's a lot of mean-spirited things that are being said. Am I shouting from the rooftops right now? I might come 9 o'clock. Am I shouting at the rooftops right now? No. Hell, I was louder before the show about something completely unrelated.
What's so interesting to me here is I've never seen the fans so united for the player who wants out and against the team that they will still root for.
A lot changes.
That they will have to root for once football kicks off in September. I've never seen it. I've never seen it, especially with as loyal as the Browns fans are. What has been the calling card of Browns fans my entire life? That we stood through 0-16. An expansion team set up for failure in a stadium that was rushed. A 1-15. The amount of dysfunction behind the scenes with the front office members. A coaching charade with the hire of Freddie Kitchens. The Johnny Manziel draft. I've seen fans stick by this team. The saga of Josh Gordon. They stuck by the team. A texting scandal. Like, you name it. The Browns had more headlines than any other team in the NFL and more losing than any team, basically, in the NFL. And the fans stuck by him. And then yesterday in unison, I feel like that was a bellwether moment, Kenny. An inflection point in the history of the Cleveland Browns that every fan, and maybe we were all just being emotional yesterday, that every fan was like, hey, the guy who wants out of Cleveland, we side with him. I've never seen that. I can't. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Where does that happen? I've not seen that.
I think this is the first time. I think you're right. And you're not. I mean, you're right about that. I think that this is the scariest time I've seen with the fans and the Browns. I am nervous about that. You have 20-year-old young men standing outside the stadium. I know there was like a dozen of them. It wasn't like the parade some years ago. But you had 20-year-old men standing out there, and you got your coworker Kelly Kennedy over there from 19. We got Brad Hamilton over there. They're sticking mics in people's faces. I saw Mike Polk holding up the sign, which Mike Polk has made a fine living standing outside that stadium and yelling about their futile exploits of trying to put together a team. And I tell you why this is different. I'll tell you why this is different. You mentioned Johnny. Johnny was an idiot. Johnny was fun, and you could try to root for him, but he was a bad guy, and they got rid of him in 2 years. Remember, the best thing is that it ended so quickly. You know, Hugh hated me, and I'm not a big fan of Hugh, but fans don't care about that. They know that he tried, and it sucked, and that was a bad thing. 1-31, you could try to see yourself getting better. Ray Farmer's a nice guy. You knew he was trying to win. He couldn't do it. Chudzinski, nice guy, trying to win.
Who knows?
There's a lot of, like, Freddie. Freddie's fun. Was like, Freddie didn't run him into the ground on purpose. Baker, fun. I know, he wasn't mature. He admitted it himself. But when you trade for a guy they don't like, and you give yourself no outs, and then there seems to be no answer for that decision, they've had enough. And so many words, they had enough. And I'm nervous because it's been and I'm not saying this for any sort of an effect. I do. I did not sleep very well last night because I see the posts that we're getting from people who say they're canceling tickets or they're not going to let their kids be Browns fans anymore. And I hope it's just anger. I hope it's anger because even though the team was bad, the fan base was always special. And if you lose that, what do you have then? Then we're just the Jaguars. You went from the birthplace of professional football, a place that fought for the team, fought for the colors, fought for the history, for better, for worse, and the fan base was always special. And again, that's why there's no showmanship. It's the absolute truth. And this is why I do care about you as a person, because Lima, as much as you've upset people, you've never, ever, ever let it be known any different that in 2020, you were emotional. Why were you emotional? I was emotional in 2020. Why were you and I emotional? Because of the fans. Not because of the team, because of the fans. And now if that special feeling between the fans goes away, it scares me about the future of sports in the city. It makes me nervous. And I don't like it. And you've traded for a guy they don't like, and they are still paying the price. Miles now. And again, they're going to give up Miles. and they're going to give up three first-round picks, this, that, and the other. Baker, throw that log on the fire as well. And I'm going, well, again, I just mentioned all these other players who are still Browns players, and the point of keeping them is what? So now I got a coach that will be a lame duck because they'll move on. I got a general manager who will be a lame duck. They'll move on. And I'm on February 4th. The Super Bowl hasn't even been played yet. How's that make a Browns fan feel? We're supposed to love football here.
And Kenny, I wonder if that news yesterday completely altered the Browns' entire offseason planning. I know this was not a surprise to them, according to reports yesterday, that
I know
Miles had already kind of come to the team. And obviously, Miles did not like what he was hearing from the team, maybe on multiple occasions. Remember where we were at the end of the regular season, where he had finally gone public with a, hey, kind of got to win here. You know, I've been a good teammate. It's time to win. And now here we are at the beginning of February. We still have till April 24th, first night of that draft. And I wonder if the Browns' entire offseason just changed. And which means if that's the case, the entire future just changed.
Oh, I think that with this announcement, guys, I got nothing. I got nobody texting me on this. It's like, well, are we done making moves here? Are we done making moves within the front office? Because I'll tell you right now, I think that half these people on the air or half these people on hold, and it's the day after Myles Garrett has announced that he wants a trade. I think if they let go of Andrew Berry and said Anthony Lyon is going to be in charge of the draft, hell, I think they might have more faith in you right now.
Well, not after what I said about Watson.
Hey, they know you'll go for the gusto over a quarterback.
I think they'll go with you.
That's a one saving grace. I never wanted Deshaun Watson. I didn't want to draft the guy, and I didn't want to trade for the guy. Great. Okay. So I just become what Daryl... I accused Daryl of being here over the last couple of weeks, which, by the way, one of the first things I'll say to Daryl is I'm sorry on Friday. That's a promise. All right? Maybe I'll change my mind on that, because before it's like, okay, we still have Miles. We still have Denzel. Da-da-da-da-da-da. We got to go after a guy that's going to make this maybe a little bit sunnier.
So you
now anything's on the deck. It's like, well, what's the point? I could trade down for number two. And if I just wanted a nice, safe, good football player who I think is going to be at least a few time Pro Bowler over his career with the Browns, a guy who we could get to a second contract, fine. Bring me Will Campbell. Bring me Mason Graham. Bring me those players, because I don't need a quarterback if they trade Myles Garrett. It's there. We ain't going anywhere.
So are you at 0%? You think 0% Myles Garrett ever plays another down of football for the Cleveland Browns?
I won't say zero. I'll say 20.
That's higher than I thought.
Well, because these things can change, but I'm going to have a bad feeling if that 20% ends up being right, because a fan needs to know in the back of his mind, he's only here for the money. He just told you what he thinks of what they're going to do. He just did it. So now that puts dirt on Miles' name. That's why I think that we're probably at the point of no return. The guy himself said that they are not a competitive football team and he needs to go to a competitor. That's what he just said in that statement.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to start saying bye-bye to a lot of household names, I think, because this is going to have to go in a pretty rough way. Well, you know what, Mary Kay, last I heard, she says she doesn't think the Browns are going to move on from Myles Garrett, so maybe I'll change my tune by the end of this interview. Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, now, this has been hearsay. I'm not sure. Are you saying still that the Browns, you don't believe that they're going to move on from Myles Garrett this offseason?
That is how I feel right now. Yes, I do believe what they're saying. I sat with Andrew Berry just at the Senior Bowl last week. He was adamant about the fact that they were not going to trade Myles Garrett, and he knew at that point that Myles wanted to be traded. And when he stated there that he wouldn't even take 2 first-round picks, he knew then. I didn't know it at the time, but he knew then that Myles wanted out or had asked out. I'm sure by then that had already been the case. So he even said, you can put that on the record. So I think he was making it clear then that that's what he's wanted. And I've been told they're sticking to their guns on that and they have rating them. And I don't think that's a bargaining chip.
You know, that's interesting. Mary Kay is joining us live from New Orleans as everybody gets ready for Super Bowl 59. Mary Kay, and I know that we have NFL honors tonight. We'll talk about that coming up here momentarily. But this could end up being a stalemate here because, you know, I think from Monday and you saw the release for everybody, it's like, man, Myles comes off. He really likes the fans, loves the area. He just wants to go away from the Browns. I thought that 90% of the fan base that I had spoken to here, they were on the Myles Garrett side. Yesterday, I think a lot of that changed. For the Browns, I mean, they do not have to have media availability to win right before the draft, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of puts it on Myles now where it's like, hey, you're only going to look worse and worse and worse to the fan base as this goes on if you keep saying something.
Well, I just listened to an interview, the Mina Kimes interview, where I think he mentioned that he would love to play for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I can't imagine that Browns fans would love to hear that. So I'm just not entirely certain that those are the things that you would want to be saying right at this point. Because if you are coming back here, and I really do think the Browns are going to dig their heels in, if you're coming back here and it could turn out that way, you don't want to burn those bridges. Just be careful what you're out there saying. This should probably be about, you know, yes, I love Cleveland. I would love to win a Super Bowl for Cleveland. If I have to go somewhere else and do it, I will. But my first year, I mean, there should be some of that. There should be a little bit more for a fan base that has completely embraced him and given him their complete and total all throughout all of these years.
Mary Kay Cabot with us. I'll offer up a devil's advocate, Mary Kay. Wouldn't burning the bridges, wouldn't that expedite his departure? I mean, if that's what he ultimately wants, doesn't he have to make this get really, really messy?
Well, it might have to get messy. I mean, if you look at Lamar Jackson, that got messy and ugly before he got the extension. And if you look at Brandon Ayuk, that got messy and ugly before he got his extension. Chris Jones, same thing. you know, this is what happens. And ultimately, the end game could be that Miles becomes the highest paid defensive player in the NFL, and that he makes, I don't know, maybe $40 million a year. Maybe that's where this is ultimately going to go. But in the interim, you want to make sure that you're staying in good standing with your team and with your fans. And I understand what you're saying, that he could hasten his exit if that's what he really wants. But with the Browns 100% unequivocally stating that they're not going to trade him, I just have to wonder if, you know, you just don't want to end up in a, you know, pretty good place with your team, with your fans, with your teammates by the time the season rolls around.
He just keeps saying they're not good. Like, if it were just like, hey, this is about respect. I'm the best player in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to be paid like it. All right, they got the money. Pay him the money. He just keeps stating in the statement and on Radio Row yesterday, he doesn't think the team's good. Like, I'm sorry, I'm at a loggerheads with you on this one, Mary Kay, where it's like, I don't think it's about money. I don't think it's about bringing him back. If they want to hold on to him, fine, but I think it would be out of spite at this moment.
Okay, well, let's look at this for a minute. They led the NFL with 34 giveaways last year because of their quarterback problems. You're not winning football games when you're giving the ball away 34 times, okay? You're going to lose almost every single game in that scenario. If you get a quarterback who can hang on to the football, protect the football, and give you a good football game, a good consistent football game, maybe you don't have to be Patrick Mahomes, maybe you don't have to be Lamar Jackson, but with the defense and the talent that the Browns have, if they get good quarterback play, they can win some games. Not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl next year, but they can contend. And the best way to get back to winning is to have the best defensive player in the NFL on your team. And if you've got Miles and you've got Denzel and you've got Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku, and hopefully for them, Joel Bitonio won't retire, they have the foundation and the makings of a good football team that went 11-6 in 2023. I just tweeted this. It's about the quarterback. It's about the quarterback. Ask the Commanders. It's about the quarterback. Now, where are they going to get that quarterback? I don't know. Maybe Miles has looked at this situation and he said, I don't think we're going to win with Shedeur Sanders next year, or I don't think we're going to win with Cam Ward, or I don't think we're going to win with Geno Smith or whoever the heck else the Browns get. He must be looking at this and thinking they're not going to get the quarterback, because it's about getting a good quarterback.
Mary Kay Cabot with us from the Super Bowl. I do want to know if Miles has talked to the organization and he was not impressed with their plans. How right now is Andrew Berry selling the near future right now with Jimmy Haslam?
I'm sorry, can you just repeat that really quickly?
If obviously Miles Garrett's not happy with what he's being sold from Andrew Berry, how is Jimmy Haslam okay with what the plan of attack is right now from Andrew Berry? He's kept him, so he must like something about the plan.
As I said in my previous answer, they have to get a good quarterback. Everyone can wrap their brains around the fact that Deshaun Watson did not work out. And he didn't work out primarily because he was injured for most of the last two seasons. The bottom line on Deshaun Watson is that in his first season, the suspension was way longer than the Browns expected it to be. And in his subsequent seasons, he was injured. And he was never himself after those injuries. The shoulder surgery that no one's ever had before or come back from in the NFL, and then a ruptured Achilles and now a re-ruptured Achilles. And there's a lot more extenuating circumstances there, but it was about a mess of a quarterback situation. And they have to get that fixed. It's not going to be easy. I mean, we know Bailey Zappe was number 40, but they have an opportunity here to get some kind of a quarterback that can come in here and hang on to the football and play some decent football, pair him with the talent they have. They're going to have 12 draft picks. I mean, they can stock this football team with some decent players. I mean, if you get a running game which they should be able to do, and you stop turning the ball over and you get decent quarterback play, I mean, you can go out and win maybe 9 games next year. And maybe 9 games get you thinking about a wild card spot or something like that. So I just don't think that I think people have 1-31 in their minds that they're doing a teardown and a rebuild, and I just don't see it.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here from the Cleveland Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. It is the awards tonight, NFL honors. How awkward would it be if he were to win Defensive Player of the Year?
It would be awkward. It really would be awkward. I don't think he's going to win it, only because I've been walking around and asking some people who might know. I think by now somebody would have some indication that he won it. I know they're hoping that he's going to win it. I mean, I talked to some people in his entourage yesterday who have their fingers crossed and, of course, are hoping that he's going to win it. I haven't gotten that vibe, but it could happen. And, yes, I think that would be awkward.
Denzel Ward, we played your audio. Mary Kay says if they make a move, he would have to consider his future. What would be the market for a Denzel Ward if all the nuclear options were to be hit?
Well, first of all, the bottom line here is I don't think that Denzel Ward is going to have anything to worry about. Obviously, he's very close to Miles. And this has hit him like a ton of bricks. He was just at the Pro Bowl with Miles, listening to Miles tell him that he wants to be traded. It was a tough thing for him to hear. It was upsetting, and it made him question everything. And I'm sure that he's not the only one that feels this way. I'm sure there are plenty of Browns players that are completely rattled by this because their best player on the football team wants out. Who wouldn't feel a little uncomfortable about this right now? But I don't think that Denzel is going to have too much to worry about when all is said and done, because I think Miles will end up with an extension, and I think he'll be on the football team.
Man, Mary Kay, I'm just trying to think about how ugly Miles is about to make this, and then having to just turn around, sign a deal, whether it's guaranteed or whatever, to be the highest non-paid or non-quarterback, the highest paid non-quarterback in all the league, and how that's going to sit with everybody involved when he clearly doesn't want to be here, and now the fans are starting to turn on him.
Well, it's unfortunate if it turns out that way. It's going to be unfortunate if he has to come back and play in Cleveland in front of a fan base that is mad at him, and it shouldn't be coming to this. It really shouldn't. But, there is life after asking to be traded and signing an extension. Lamar did it. The Ravens fans don't seem to hate Lamar. I mean, this happened with him last year, and a month later, he ended up with, probably at the time, becoming the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I don't think 49ers fans hate Brandon Ayuk, I know Chiefs fans don't hate Chris Jones. So, this is how business goes sometimes. Let's just hope it doesn't get too ugly because, nobody needs that. Nobody wants that. But let me just say this too. Everybody's talking here about, everybody is gaga over, come on, let's trade him to the Lions. Let's trade him to the Commanders. Why would the Browns want a number 29 pick in the first round? What's that going to get him? What is that going to get them? I mean, seriously, if you get two lower first round picks out of this, how does that even come close to what you already have right now in Myles Garrett, a future Hall of Famer who is still playing at the top of his game? It doesn't make any sense. I wrote a column about that the other day. It doesn't make sense to me to go out and maybe try to hit on two first-round picks where the hit rate is less than 50% to begin with. And what are you going to end up with? And what's going to match up to what you already have right on your roster?
I don't know, Mary Kay. I think to get multiple first-round picks, those are the contenders are going to be the only ones that actually give you everything that you want. Because I love you. I just don't believe he's playing for the Browns again. I wish I agreed with you.
Well, maybe it'll get that ugly, that it will become untenable and they'll have to move him. Maybe he will make it that bad that there is a point of no return. They're not there yet. Right now, they still truly have no intentions of doing this. Now, like you said, it could get bad enough, and he could make it get bad enough where they are, forced to do something. But does that necessarily mean that these Super Bowl contenders have whatever draft capital the Browns would want and the money to pay him $40 million a year? I mean, do you think the Lions are going to pay Aiden Hutchinson $40 million a year and then pay Myles Garrett $40 million a year? I mean, there's a narrow market for Myles Garrett right now because you'd have to have a lot of draft capital. I mean, Andrew said he's not taking two first-round picks. That's not going to cut it. And then you've got to turn around and sign him to a blockbuster extension, making him the highest paid defender in the NFL. Mm. So who's signing up for that? Maybe the Commanders will, maybe the Lions will, but I just don't know if it's going to be as easy as, hey, LeBron, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and go win myself a couple of championships.
Mary Kay, I got 10 seconds. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
Chiefs again?
I never bet against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's just, yeah. Right. And their defense is so good. So I'm a big believer in Steve Spagnuolo as well.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Is our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder, and is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The world changed at 11 o'clock this morning, T. The announcement from Myles Garrett, summing it up, with that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. The Browns later, we will not be trading Myles Garrett. All right. What do you think?
That's nice that they say they're not going to be trading Myles Garrett, but they might have to, depending how much Garrett is willing to force their hand to make this happen. Yes, there is, if there is... when he in December talked about his frustration and his unhappiness with the direction of the franchise, the current state of the team, right? He wanted to know the plans. Clearly, whatever Andrew Berry told him did not satisfy him, did not wow him, did not, make him feel like they are going to be turning this thing around rather quickly. But a couple of things stood out in the letter that he released. One, he took a direct shot at Andrew Berry with the line about the goal has never been, to go from Cleveland to Canton. It's to compete for Super Bowls. And then secondly, in there is the desire to compete for Super Bowls. He clearly does not feel that this franchise is capable of doing that. And I think that speaks volumes to where this organization really is. People should stop talking themselves into thinking that the Browns are close to accomplishing anything because they're not. And Myles Garrett basically told you that this morning.
All right. Are you shocked by this? Surprised? You tell me.
No. Not at all. I mean, maybe the timing, the fact that it came on Monday of Super Bowl week, but... No, I'm not surprised. He made it very clear how he felt about things in December. I expected that if he was going to request a trade, it might come in like the end of February, maybe early March, leading up to the new league year. I did not expect it Monday of Super Bowl week, that's for sure, because now he has basically hijacked the news cycle at the Super Bowl. With
yes,
his trade request.
Right? Sure he yes, yeah. He did, Daryl.
Or
right?
At least up until tonight when they start doing the player interviews. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, he no longer believes in the Cleveland Browns. He no longer believes in Andrew Berry. He watched that guy work for 5 years and is like, nah, I'm good. Peace out. Get me the hell out of here. I've had enough. he watched them go from 0-16 in his rookie year to in year eight go 3-14. Top to bottom, he knows how that building works. And he's like, they're focused on the wrong things here. I'm not interested anymore.
All right.
And that's what he said today.
Despite what the Browns said, you went 3-14 with the best defensive player in the league, arguably. It certainly wasn't his fault, but
right.
he alone didn't win you games. And in a game where you start 22 and have, you know, rosters in the 50s, you need more than one guy.
Right.
Is this a huge opportunity for the Browns?
I mean, you're really putting a lot more faith in the Browns than I will ever put in them.
Well,
they can blow more first round draft picks.
Daryl, I can't argue.
You're not
with
finding
you.
Miles Garrett in the draft again.
No, I can't. I can't argue with you on that. But the only thing is, they're incapable
of finding a quarterback worth anything. They've proven that over 26 years. It doesn't matter the regime. Doesn't matter the coach. Doesn't matter what pick they use. What round? Doesn't matter the money they spend. Doesn't matter how many draft picks they give up. They're incompetent. Like, top to bottom, the Cleveland Browns are an incompetent franchise, and we've watched it for 26 years, and Garrett has had 8 years of it, and he's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And yeah, you can spin it that way. My thing is, you must just burn it all to the ground. Trade everyone. Trade Garrett, trade Denzel Ward, trade Wyatt Teller, trade everyone, start all over again. 1-31, here we go all over again. And, oh, by the way, you need to fire Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, the entire front office, Glenn Cook, Catherine Hickman, all of them. Get them all out of here and start over again. Redo the entire football operation. Bring people in who will actually read a scouting report, who will actually pay attention to red flags, and not bring in guys who can't learn playbooks or won't learn playbooks or have off-the-field problems that cause them to miss time on the field, right? I mean, stuff that's plain as day, Andrew Berry doesn't listen to. The fact that that guy kept his job after this disastrous season is a miracle. And that falls on ownership. They don't know when to fire people. They don't know who to hire. They've hired consultants to help them, and that doesn't work. They've turned the car keys over to people, and that hasn't worked. They've tried meddling in everything. That hasn't worked. Right? I mean, this isn't a lack of willingness or trying or commitment of resources problem that the Browns and ownership has. It's they don't know what they're doing. And they don't know how to do it. They know what they want to accomplish. They know what they want to do. They have no idea how to get there. And unfortunately, they keep hiring people that aren't doing their job. Andrew Berry's not done his job. He took over a roster that was ready to win immediately, and he fouled it up from A to Z and made arguably the worst trade in NFL history and sacrificed the farm, sacrificed any ounce of integrity to do it. And it has blown up in their face spectacularly. There's a reason I've been saying that I don't believe in this front office, that I don't trust this front office. And Miles Garrett told you the same thing this morning.
Daryl, would you stop being so wishy-washy about this and have some passion?
I just keep it 100, people. None of you like anything I have to say, and I understand. I'm just telling you the way it is.
Daryl, what's he worth? What's Miles Garrett worth?
I think minimum 2 first-round picks and then some.
Players or picks, D?
Well, I mean, at this point, you probably want a little combination of both, right? I mean, you still have to field the football team. Here's the other bummer about this, right? So Garrett has made it clear, and obviously now he can't control, you know, this. You know, he's pretty much got to – the Browns say they're not going to trade him. Berry said it last week. Debo Samuel comes to mind, right? I mean, he even held out a training camp to try and facilitate a trade, and it didn't happen. He got paid and became happy. This feels different. This feels different. I really do believe This is different. Miles wants to win, and he's not going to Joe Thomas his career. You know, and he's not going to let the Browns waste his career. But, you know, so is there an opportunity? Yeah, I would scrap the entire front office and bring new people in to do the next rebuild, 100%. But I, if you lose Miles Garrett, there's no patching. You might as well just burn it to the ground and start from scratch all over again.
What did Miles Garrett learn from Baker Mayfield with his release today?
It
feels a little similar.
Yeah, well, Baker's came in the wake of the interest that the Browns at the time had in Deshaun Watson, right? Baker's was a direct response. It was basically a single finger salute back to the Browns because they had expressed interest in meeting with Deshaun Watson and met with Deshaun, right? Mm-hmm. And so Baker basically said, the heck with you guys then. If you're going to meet with other guys, I'm not good enough for you, then I'm just not investing any more time with you. And the Browns are like, that's fine. We're not going to ride the emotional roller coaster that comes with you, and we're not going to ride the on-the-field roller coaster with you. So that's fine. And, you know, I think that there was a moment after Deshaun initially said no to the Browns. They're like, okay, how do we get the toothpaste back in the tube? Well, we can't. All right, then we're all in now. Like, we started down the path. We're at the edge of the cliff. We might as well jump. And they jumped, and the bungee cord broke, and they went splat. Because the Deshaun thing has been an unmitigated disaster. And it's going to hang over them now for at least two more years. And, you know, and I think Garrett's also looking at that. Now, that's not to say you can't manipulate the cap, because they're going to be able to sign guys and bring people in and all that. The one thing Andrew Berry's front office is really good at is spreadsheets. They're really good with that. Not so much watching film or reading scouting reports, but they're really good at spreadsheets and math. So, you know, they're going to be able to work with the salary cap and make room to bring guys in and sign guys in free agency and stuff. But, yeah, this was, for me, this is a death nail for the Cleveland Browns. That's how bad this is. This is a complete repudiation of everything the Cleveland Browns have tried to build by their best player that they have drafted in, I would argue, decades.
Daryl, does that make management ownership, I guess, look at management in a different way before the draft, before the season?
It's too late to make changes now. Okay. I actually had someone ask me that this morning. Hey, could they fire Andrew Berry over this today? And I'm like, no, it's pointless. It's too late in the hiring cycle. You know, so you're stuck with the guy this year. But January next year, if you have to trade Miles Garrett, oh, you're damn right I'm firing Andrew Berry. I'm not even thinking twice about it. In fact, if I'm ownership, I pack his office for him.
Daryl, thank you. Appreciate your time today, buddy.
Daryl, we have a podcast tonight, just so you know.
I'm aware.
Okay, just making sure. It's always game day in Cleveland.
And it really is always game day in Cleveland.
Well, isn't that the truth, huh?
Yes.
Thank you, D.
You bet, guys.
Daryl is our Browns beat reporter. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hey, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The what game one? That one gets me. Yeah. He'll be hosting the Cleveland Sports Awards tomorrow night along with Jay Crawford. And he was sitting in the good seats.
Sitting in the seats? He was in the huddle last night.
Right there. Chris Rose from the NFL Network. Hello, Chris.
Chris.
Don't blame the shooting on me. I was not in the huddle. It looked like I had been teaching them how to shoot. That's how bad it was.
Were you getting crushed during the game last night? Because I saw him pan by the bench, and I was like, is that Chris? And then I texted you like, yep.
You were like, yeah, I got a few of those. But, yeah, they were – awesome seats. I certainly appreciate the Cavs for helping us out. And
did you hear in the huddle where you were or no?
Did I do what?
Could you listen in on the huddle? It looked like I don't know if that was an optical illusion or you were that close.
No, it's like you definitely can hear when guys get kind of demonstrative on the bench a little bit, when not that they were yelling at each other, but they're that's probably the thing that I walked away with most impressed about this team was even though they were really frustrated with the way that they were playing, like there was zero finger pointing. You know, they were just, they were communicating really well, like about what wasn't happening. And I think that probably the coaching staff doesn't hate a game like this because they know that like Boston is tough as hell to play when they want to play.
Aren't they though?
Like they are, they're so long all over the place and everybody shoots threes well and they share it beautifully. And I think that it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see if in the next 24 hours we're doing anything. Because if not, then there's a few guys that are really going to have to, you know, elevate their games against good, good teams.
And it's also, and Evan Mobley obviously had a rough night last night. And
horrible night.
Right, has had rough times against Boston. It's also up to the coaching staff to help those guys along, which Kenny Atkinson and his guys have done a nice job of this year. So, We told everybody yesterday, if they win, don't get too excited. If they lose, don't get too excited. So we're trying not to get too excited with that trade deadlines. It's hanging tough. Tomorrow,
I do think that what Boston does better than anybody is they are super physical with our guards. They really put them where they want them instead of where we want to go, which is what makes Garland and Mitchell so good. So they've got to combat that if they don't change the makeup of the team. And if they do, then they got to figure out how to incorporate new guys into a team that is really, really a well-oiled machine.
How are rehearsals for the Cleveland Sports Awards? Are you ready to roll?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be ready to go. I love the event. This is the third time I've had some sort of role in it. Second time that I'll co-host this one with Jay. Really looking forward to it. The thing that I get to do that is super exciting is we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 95 World Series team. And so we're going to have 20 minutes where it's kind of like a little fireside chat. I'm going to get good stories about it. You know, and I think I told you this last week that it's one of the seasons that I think has left an indelible mark in the history of this city. And, you know, I think it's great to be able to explain that to some of the younger people that'll be at the event. For those of us that are our ages, guys, it's right in our wheelhouse. You know, for people that are a half generation or a generation older, it probably spun them back to the glory days of the franchise. And so that I think that's the beautiful thing. I think it's really going to kind of touch each generation.
Chris, doesn't it feel strange that was that long ago?
Oh, it's incredible.
It is.
I can't believe it.
I can't even.
I can't believe it. Do you know how old Mike Hargrove is?
I don't want to call Mike out on the show. I would bet low 70s.
I think he's 75, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, call him out. I mean, you are what you are. I'm going to let everybody know. There's this little machine that will teach you, will tell you exactly how old everybody is.
What's that machine called? I've never seen it before.
I'm talking on it right now.
Okay, I never use that during the...
Here's the other thing. You either have another birthday...
That's
or
true.
Or you don't. So I'm all for having birthdays.
I am too. I am too. Don't be upset about celebrating them.
Nope.
Be upset when you're not.
Absolutely. Absolutely the case. Miles Garrett requested a trade from our team.
Yeah.
What do you think? We after kicking it around for a couple of days, and there's no way they can trade that guy under the current financial situation. So I almost think it's like, hey, Miles, nice job. Glad you requested that. Now, when do you want to report? Can they trade him?
Well, if they do it before June 1st, then it's the ultimate blow it up, right?
Yeah.
Then you have to. And because you're just going to be paying nobody. I mean, you're going to have to get rid of a lot of guys. And maybe that's what they're doing. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing and sitting and thinking about. I hope they're having an open and honest discussion about what is best for the team, not is what can save face here. What is it that can get this team to where we're going to have a chance to be playing in this game instead of talking about the game. It would break my heart if we traded him. He's the best homegrown player that I've ever seen. With, I think, Joe Thomas and Ozzie Newsome being close. But he is, we've never had a game wrecker. Never. Even when our defenses were great in the 80s, the closest thing we had was Chip Banks.
Yeah, and that wasn't for long.
That wasn't for long, and we ended up trading him for a mad dog in a meat market.
Mr. Junkin.
So, I mean, I have some thoughts about where you'd trade him.
Where would you?
I mean, first of all, I want to get on the record and say I wouldn't do it. I would try and work it out with him because you're not going to get three first-round picks. He's not a quarterback, and he's almost 30. So and you're going to have to pay him more than he's getting paid. So when you factor all that in, you're not getting – I don't even know if you get multiple first-rounders. I don't think so. So the team I would circle – do you guys have a team? Let's see if it's the same one.
I had two. I said if by any chance Minnesota decides that J.J. McCarthy's not their guy, and I also threw out New England.
Teams all start with NFC. I do not want to see them.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. So, Jeff, I thought about the McCarthy angle, and I just don't see them going that direction.
I don't either, Chris. I don't either.
So if you're not – plus, the one thing they did great was rush the passer last year, right? Grenard and Van Ginkle both ended up in the Pro Bowl and were outstanding. So I'm not saying that not every team could use Myles Garrett, but my point is that there's other teams that would feel like maybe they're a Myles Garrett away.
Yeah.
But I think you're in the right division.
You think in Detroit?
Green Bay. No, I think Green Bay's the place because – what I would do is I would go a 1, a 3,
and
Jaden Reed.
I like Jaden Reed.
I don't think that they would do it.
Especially with Watson. Watson's injury now, Christian Watson.
Yeah, I mean, he's always injured.
Yes, well, but that's true.
They've had tremendous success in drafting non-first-round wide receivers. And so maybe they just say, you know what, screw it. We'll go take the best defensive player out there and
we'll find another.
Figure out the receiving core somewhere else down the line. Right? So that's a possibility. That's just something I dreamt up in my head.
Interesting. Hey, have a great time tomorrow night and enjoy.
And just remember this, when you're on stage with Jay, I'm the only person that's worked with both of you, just so you know that.
Are you there tomorrow night?
I'll be there. Yeah, I'm not doing anything, but I'll just be there. I'll just be chilling.
Okay, make sure you give a hug.
Have fun.
Well, that's right. Just make sure that Jay knows that we all three of us have this bond together. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye, guys. Appreciate
See you later.
That's
Bye.
Chris Rose. He'll be co-hosting the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards tomorrow night along with Jay Crawford.
We were going to react to Fedor and some of his thoughts on the Cavs. We're going to get back to those later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear it also in the lead coming up at 5 o'clock, but... this takes precedence as Myles Garrett has begun doing Radio Row interviews. And for those of you, you might have seen some of the quotes coming out on Myles from the Rich Eisen show on Radio Row, which you guys can hear on the Infinity Sports Network. But I do think the most important thing to note is, guys, this is just beginning. Myles has another appearance on the Zach Gelb show that is supposed to be coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm going to be shocked if that was just the only two that he did here. It seems like Myles is going to use this Radio Row as a way to communicate more of what he did on Monday, that he doesn't want to be in Cleveland anymore.
As he should. Like, this is the right move by Myles if you have... Now, I'm not going to call it an agenda, but if you want to push the idea that the Browns are doing you a little dirty here and you definitely want out... This is what you would do.
The Browns, through their various contacts, are pushing back on the idea that they have to trade Myles, that they will even entertain the idea. Like, I think what people, and I think this is actually why people are, one of the reasons people are on Myles' side, is that I think people understand how Miles had to have felt to go public with this on Monday, the week of Radio Row. I'm for him to do that, I'm going to have to assume that he felt like he was getting railroaded or felt not listened to by the Cleveland Browns organization, and that this was a response to Andrew Berry last week at the Senior Bowl telling everyone in the listening area, we wouldn't trade him even for two first-round draft picks.
But, Nick, Monday now makes a bunch of sense for why it happened there. We initially posited Monday so we can have the whole week for everyone to discuss it, because it's not a Friday news dump. You want people talking about it and having the trade scenarios out there and everything in between. But you have Monday. Then you can see how they respond to it. And then you hit Radio Super Bowl Row on Wednesday. And, I mean, it sets it up perfect, for him at least, in order to be able to express his displeasure with how this has gone down from a Browns perspective.
So before we get to Daryl coming up in 30 minutes, we're going to play a lot of what Miles had to say. People who listened to the whole interview have described it as emptying the clip and saying everything that he thought about this, laying it completely bare.
Which makes sense, because when we listened to Miles on Fridays during the season talk, he had days where he was nothing, yep, and he had days where he was everything. And when he wants to get in the mud, the man knows how to get in the mud.
So Miles was asked very early on, how did this come about? And there became a conversation about alignment with the organization.
Like you said, it's not a decision I take lightly. You know, it took time and lots of conversation, but you know, just looking at kind of the trajectory of the team, talking to some of the higher ups, and I have a lot of respect for them, but I just don't think we're aligned on, you know, where the team is going in the near future. And I feel like, you know, the window for us as athletes is only, you know, so broad, and it only continues to close as years go by with, you know, anything be able to happen on that field from day to day. And you know, I want to be able to, you know, go out there and compete at the highest levels, you know, day in and day out, and you know, playing for champions, like I said.
And this, so I think we assumed this, but this definitely aligns with the thought of sat down, talked with the Browns. They shared their plans to be competitive this year. And I didn't see that being a realistic plan.
Oh, see, I didn't see it that way. I sat down with the Browns. They shared their plans for a rebuild, or their plans for going through the quarterback room and not being able to find anyone of substance. And I don't jive with that. You can't waste years of my career doing a rebuild. I want to be out because of that.
So really, I mean, knowing the tea leaves, if your interpretation of this is right, then there's really nothing the Browns could have done to satiate Miles's, like, desires this offseason,
right? If that was their plan, yeah. If their plan was... Now, again, I hear your side of it, because what's interesting is when people are talking about the Browns... Or, sorry, talking about this from a Browns perspective, they're saying they can be competitive this next year. But what would the sell possibly have been from the Browns if they were trying to offer that up?
I mean, the best sell you probably could have done is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and that's not going to be good enough
Kirk
for Miles.
Or Kirk Cousins. That Miles probably would have been...
Yeah, and Miles knows neither one of them are getting you to a Super Bowl.
So while we're having that conversation... We're actually going to go 05 here because Miles did not come to this conclusion by himself. No, he had several people he talked to, including the former King of Cleveland.
Hearing a little bit from a Cleveland or Akron native as well.
You did reach out to LeBron.
Yes, sir.
What conversation did you have with him, if you're willing to share? In that,
you know, just kind of what a transition, you know, looked like for him. You know, what was his thought process going into it before, you know, he left Cleveland, and you know, just making sure I made a logical decision, taking my time, just trying to, you know, take away the pressure of doing something like that. I know that, you know, Cleveland, really that area, Northeast Ohio, has been his home, and you know, it's really been it feels like my home as well.
I would call this a tactical error for Miles on the Rich Eisen show.
Why is that?
I don't think anyone in Cleveland wants to hear that you talked to LeBron, a guy who left Cleveland twice. I mean,
he gives out the blueprint of how to leave Cleveland.
I was surprised at how much, because I'd seen the quotes, and then hearing him talk, it sounds like he thinks like this is a good way to get Browns fans on his side. I actually think this might be the only way you can turn some people off with, because of the fact that, like, both the times LeBron left, there were still people pretty upset, even though if that second time, there wasn't as much of an uproar as the first time.
Well, here's the other part of this, Nick. You don't call LeBron asking for LeBron's advice on your decision. Your decision's been made. You call LeBron asking, what's the blowback from Cleveland when I make this decision?
Yes. And so Miles's people, if you're listening, knock out the LeBron stuff. The LeBron stuff only plays.
Why was he vague with Rich Eisen first on that, too? Like, I talked to a Cleveland Akron native. He made Rich Eisen play a guessing game.
It's not, by the way, it's not name dropping if you're in the general sphere of, like, publicity yourself.
He owns 5% of an NBA. Sorry, I keep making up 5% as a number. He owns part of an NBA team.
Who owns more of their team?
Tom Brady definitely owns more of his team than Miles Garrett owns.
But yeah, Cavs. I don't know. I think this is, listen, I will say, I think Miles going public now, I think this is going to change things for some Browns fans. It won't change it for me. The Browns have screwed this up royally. He's given 8 years and plenty of his body to a team that has never seriously gotten out of their own way and been a bunch of adults themselves. It's always been about the process. It's always been about some other thing other than what is most important, which is winning and building a sustainable winner. They've done shortcuts. They've done the dumb stuff with firing coaches every year. Like, Miles has the right to ask out. Then the Browns, in fairness, have the right to say, we're not going to trade you. And then it becomes this public squall or squabble. I do think that this is going to get a few people to switch sides. So, and not the LeBron stuff.
From the Browns perspective, like to the Browns side?
I can see Browns fans, or maybe Browns fans becoming more Switzerland and saying bleep Miles and bleep Cleveland.
I don't know why he did this. I really don't, because he had the win. As long as he stayed quiet, he had the win. He didn't have to come out and make this a full force, a full court effort. He didn't have to do that. There was no part of him that was going to get anything more, and the Browns knew what his stance was.
Oh, I think no. I'm trying
to figure out what is the advantage here for Miles Garrett to say these comments.
This is going to be the story of Super Bowl week.
Well, I mean, it just extends the story that already was the story of Super Bowl week.
I think the rebuttal for, and I've heard Baskin say this. I've heard people on social media. The reality is the Browns don't have to do anything. Miles went out there and told you, I'm done. There's valid reasons. There's nothing that can happen. Like, trade me. Miles is firing back. I mean, this could be directly in the face of people going, you don't have to trade him. Because what this points is of a guy who's willing to start getting his hands dirty and turning this into much more of a mudslinging thing.
He does acknowledge, though. He does acknowledge that they don't have to trade him.
But still, I think this is... If 2 weeks ago with Andrew Berry saying I would never trade Miles for even two first round picks, if that was step one, the letter on Monday was step two. Escalation was the Browns pushing back through their various media contacts saying, wow, they don't have to trade him and they don't want to trade him and it wouldn't make sense if they traded him. And this would be the next step. This would be the next battle in the what could end up being a war between the Browns and Miles Garrett. And
well, Diana Rossini, a couple days ago, what'd you say? Buckle up. Like, this is going to be, maybe this is Miles' push so it doesn't go all the way into June or July. Maybe if he thinks he speaks now, it'll hurry everything up. And maybe we have something by the trade deadline. I don't know, Nick. It's fascinating, though.
216-474-0092. So you've heard two of the clips. One was Miles talking about the lack of alignment with the organization. The other was him consulting LeBron James on his decision to move off of the city of Cleveland and the Cleveland Browns. I'm just curious how those two pieces of sound hit you. We got more on the way, including Miles Garrett on what if the Browns do not trade you. He's got an answer for that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Our next guest, you know, from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check him out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. And, of course, he joins us, as always, courtesy of MyFrontPageStory.com. Still working on the Mama feature. Got to get a second interview here. I'm vetting second interview options for my Nag Mama's My Front Page Story. And Ross Tucker joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross, welcome to the show, bud.
Nick, what's up, man? I love that. Are you just saying that because you're on the radio, or are you actually getting the greatest gift ever for your grandmother?
We are working on the greatest gift ever for Nag Mama because I felt like if it was just me, I felt like I would feel like I'm a little bit glory chasing here. So I'll feel less guilty if one of my cousins or my mom agrees to be interviewed as well.
Of course. That's what makes it great when we got one for my wife's grandmother.
all four of her kids gave quotes, and I think she cried like two or three different times. So highly recommend it. But as we've discussed, I also, like, Valentine's Day is coming, dude. And there's a lot of people that work their butts off in the Cleveland area that are just driving home now at 6 o'clock. They work all day to try to make their significant others happy, to provide for their family. And I have the answer to the greatest Valentine's Day gift ever. All you guys have to do is listen to me and go to myfrontpagestory.com, talk to one of their professional writers like Nick's going to do for, I don't know, 10 minutes. Tell them how great your wife is. They'll write this incredible story. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. Framed, beautiful. Literally, all you need to do is say, honey, I want to do something special for you. So I had a story written about you. Can you imagine if Nick mm-hmm. did that for his wife?
Incredible.
She'd be like, what? Wait, what? She'd be like, who put you up to this? What happened? There's no way.
I'm going to say Ross Tucker.
And you could say Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast at Ross Tucker NFL on social media told me to go to myfrontpagestory.com for the greatest Valentine's Day gift ever. I'm just telling you right now, anybody listening, go. How about this? Okay. If you go to myfrontpagestory.com, get a Valentine's Day gift for your significant other. Make sure you forward the email receipt to me, ross@rostucker.com. I will personally send you a signed autograph in the mail, and I will say whatever bad about Nick Wilson you want me to say in the autograph.
That's fair.
So, like, whatever bad you want me to say in the autograph, like, Nick has no friends, Nick has the worst takes, mm-hmm. why is Nick on the radio?
Yep.
I will put whatever you want on your autograph, myfrontpagestory.com.
Just search my name, at Nick Wilson Says, on Twitter. You'll find some of them. Now, I have to know, you're on Radio Row. You haven't interviewed Miles, too, have you?
I did not see Miles today, no. I got Trey Hendrickson tomorrow, who I'll be interviewing. But no, I did not see Miles today. I saw a lot of guys. But no Miles, and he's not scheduled for my show tomorrow, so maybe he's avoiding me. I don't know.
What do you make of his Radio Row tour with Rich Eisen and Zach Gelb and basically reiterating why he wants to trade out of Cleveland?
I'm typically not a big fan of that way to go about it. Now, I think there's two separate things at play here. I believe in capitalism, so those two things might be separate. And what I mean by that is, hold on a second, I got to crack my beer open.
Mm-hmm. What kind of beer?
It's 5:06 here, so it's 5 o'clock here. It's Juicifer by Gnarly Barley. It's made in Hammond, Louisiana. Mm. It's a Juicifer IPA, and I got multiple, let's call them functions, I will be attending this evening. So I want to, you can't go in there cold.
That's,
you know,
true.
What I mean, like, you got to go in there a little bit lubed up. This is not my first rodeo.
Grapefruit, papaya, resin, and pine. That's the flavor profile. Okay.
Mm. Ooh, wow, you pulled that up quick. So listen, as a reminder, I'm the authority on all things Cleveland, and here's the deal with Miles. Okay, if he was already coming here because he's getting paid stupid money by a company to go on radio shows and talk about whatever, then I'm fine with it. If he came here, which I highly doubt, just to try to, stir the pot, I'm not a fan of that, but I highly doubt he did that. Now, he didn't have to drop the I want to be traded bomb before he came here, but it certainly makes his appearances more notable. Heck, I mean, I've been going on a bunch of radio stations, and they've been having me. They've been asking me about Miles, like Dallas. Okay, listen to these guys. They want to trade Micah Parsons to the Browns for Miles Garrett and a fourth round pick. I said the Browns would do that yesterday. Micah's like 24, 25 years old. Miles will turn 30 this season. I feel like if the Browns trade him, first of all, I always think in this situation, when the guy, didn't he just say a couple weeks ago, What? Like, take me through the timeline. I could have sworn a month ago he said he wanted to be traded. Then 2 weeks ago, he goes, psych, no, I'm actually fine. Mm-hmm. And now he says he wants to be traded again. Am I missing the timeline?
No, you got it right. The psych was on HBO. It was on Hard Knocks. But, yeah, you got it right.
Okay. So then, I don't know. I always have a little bit of skepticism that he just wants a new contract again and that, you know, they could make him happy that way. But if not, you know, Micah Parsons deserves a new deal and wants it. Trey Hendrickson deserves a new deal and wants it. I mean, I feel like if the Browns, if Miles really wants out that bad, then they need to find another place to put him, to send him where they can get someone somewhat comparable back.
If you trade Miles, it feels like that starts a complete rebuild. Ross, do you agree with that?
No, not if you get Micah back or Trey Hendrickson back. If you just trade Miles for first-round picks, then yes.
Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You are on Radio Row, so we are obliged to ask you about the Super Bowl. This is a soft spot, I know, because you are a Philly guy. The Eagles, you got a soft spot for them, but is there any part of you that really worries that the Chiefs are just inevitable this year?
I mean, I can just tell you, I can cut to the chase. On every platform I'm going on, I'm picking the Chiefs to win the game, and people are not thrilled with me. You know, I got to post that on. I do stuff on social media, Eagles social media stuff, and I'm. When I make a prediction, I'm never going to be that guy in life that says something I don't believe because I think it's better for me or whatever. I don't believe in that. Like, I think that's garbage. I'm always going to say what I think, right or wrong. And I think the Eagles have a terrific chance to win, but it's got to be like 34-23 with a couple minutes left or like 31-20. It can't be a one-score game. I'm not going to say they can't do it, but how do you take right now Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, again, with what we know about him right now, over first ballot Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, first ballot Hall of Famer Andy Reid in a one-score game? I just think that that's really hard to do. When I make predictions, I make it based upon what I think is the most likely scenario. That's the most likely scenario. Now, do I do the Eagles preseason, and do I do other work for the Eagles and a lot of work in the city of Philadelphia? Yeah. Would I love if the Eagles won? Yeah. In fact, you guys will appreciate this. I'm leaving. I'm going home Friday afternoon because I'll be done doing all my shows, okay? And then Saturday, my sister-in-law, 40th birthday party, party bus, brewery tour, literally my favorite thing in the world. Like, I'd rather do that than win the Super Bowl, okay? So Thursday, my daughter's dance instructor, Jazz, I think, knows what I do, found out that it's my daughter's birthday Sunday. I go to pick her up. She gets in the car, and she says, Daddy? I said, yeah, honey. Can you please take me to the Super Bowl for my birthday? And I was like, oh. Because I knew what that would mean, both in cost and, like, effort to try to get tickets and flights and the whole deal. I said, oh, honey, I don't know. It might be too late. That'd be really hard. And this is what she said. Oh, that's okay, Daddy. I understand. Maybe we can go some other time. It was that moment, right? I was like, okay, we're going. Fine, we're going. You can't be that sweet and that nice and that understanding. So, anyway, I am flying home Friday afternoon. I'm still doing the party bus brewery tour Saturday, flying back with my family Sunday morning, going to the game, and I will be non-objectively wearing Eagle gear with my family in the nosebleed. Probably not able to actually see the game that much, but you know what? It's going to be the best 13th birthday of her life.
Dude, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That's really cool. You're going to be exhausted, but you're going to love every moment of it. Thanks again for joining us. I know this is a busy week for you, so we appreciate you, buddy.
It is my pleasure. I love Cleveland. I love being on with you guys, and we'll see what happens. I think this Miles stuff will get interesting.
I think it's already interesting and terrifying. Be good, bud.
See you, dude.
No. I didn't let you get it back in.
That's on you.
It was a see you dudes. I wasn't go you weren't double clutching with us there, Ross. That's Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker Football Podcast in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Again, check out myfrontpagestory.com. I think it's interesting that Ross is the rare national person that doesn't like the way Miles is going about this.
Well, he seems to think it's contractual, which is something that we've not spent much time on, all things considered, because I don't think either one of us think that it's contractual, but that might just be us hoping that it's not contractual, because if that was the case, then it just feels very, very dirty by Miles.
I would not be surprised if 2 days from now, Ross, maybe after hearing Ross on Radio Row, maybe, just maybe, his opinion changes. Because I held out hope. Until today, I thought, what did I say the other day? Like 60-40? Like 60% it's about winning, maybe 40% it's about money. Today really felt like he went really, really hard after the idea of this has nothing to do with money. There's just no walking that back, right?
Well, he's trying to set himself up that way, where he's got no room to walk it back, and then it's solely about the Super Bowl, and at some point I just have to throw my hands up in the air and believe him.
More Ross reaction coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.